You're listening to the Master Passive Income Podcast Network.
Hey there, real estate fan, and thanks for joining me once again on the Real Escape Investing Show. We've got something special lined up today. We got a really great guest interview with one of my absolute favorite real estate investors, and she's going to take us back all the way to her very beginnings when she joined the Equity Builders Club with nothing whatsoever. And I remember so well when this favorite investor of mine attended her first networking event with us, and you know, she came in a bit bashfully looking at her shoes and saying, oh, you know, we just own a condo. We're not really real estate investors, but we want to get into it. And that was just 4 short years ago. And in that time, she's done just about everything right.
Welcome to the Real Escape Investing Podcast, where we guide you to escape the constraints of time, geography, and finance through real estate. And now here's your host, Terry Schauer.
This investor and her husband just have such an amazing progression that I wanted to invite her on the show to offer some inspiration and some words of encouragement for those of you who are listening and who might be wondering how to get over some of those challenges that come up at the beginning of an investing journey. And so what I do want to do is just maybe come back really quick before we jump into the meat of this to talk about the purpose of the show. And so I say week after week that part of the reason why I keep doing these episodes is because I really want to motivate you into being able to take action. And so a lot of us, you know, especially at the beginning of our real estate journeys or when we're contemplating leveling up to the next level of what we're doing, it's really easy to get stuck in analysis paralysis. And unfortunately, analysis paralysis has like all kinds of different flavors. Sometimes it has to do with name calling and watching the news too much or focusing too much on what's going on in the bigger political context. But sometimes it's also just getting stuck up and hung up on making the right decision for the exact next thing that you need to do. So I think this is like a super common theme that doesn't only hit people when they are novices, it hits them every time they have to sort of change weight classes and punch up a little bit to either enter a new asset class or to really increase their portfolio size, perhaps do partnership for the first time. It can be something that's super daunting. And so the purpose of these shows is always to motivate you to take action and to do that in a way that's going to propel you further towards your dream of financial independence and becoming a seasoned professional real estate investor. And before we jump into the show, I just want to reiterate that you have my personal invitation to come to our next Equity Builders Club networking event to join the fun in person, because having a network of like-minded individuals around you is just so key to making the right decisions and feeling inspired and also just feeling supported when that day comes. And I love to joke that twice a year, I have the frustrated feeling that I just want to sell my entire portfolio and like move to the south of France. And so when that day comes, it's lovely to know that you have other people in your corner who, and a community that surrounds you, supports you on some of those days that are just a little bit less fun. So if you do want to come and hang out with us at the next Equity Builders Club networking event, you can go ahead and grab a ticket on equitybuildersclub.com/events. And as always, the promo code to get $5 off your ticket is the promo code ML5. That's the acronym for my book, Mindful Landlord. So ML5 to get $5 off your ticket for the next event. I would love to see you with us at that time. And so now let's just come back to the journey of my favorite investor. And so one of the main things that you will notice from her story is that there's this real common thread that at the beginning, a lot of new investors feel really paralyzed by the scale of doing that first deal. And I know that if I think back quite some years ago to when I signed my first deal, all those zeros that were at the end of the mortgage gave me a really big scare. And so what this guest does that's just so great is to remind us that success is built just one small step at a time. And that every time you're facing a big decision, the key thing to do is to just keep moving forward and to go through all of those emotions, to go through some of the difficult feelings, but that as long as you're moving forward, then the success over the long term will be guaranteed. And that even though some of those baby steps may feel uncomfortable, growth happens when you're stretching beyond your comfort zone. And so actually, in a weird way, although nobody loves discomfort, the great thing about discomfort is that it's probably signaling you that you're moving outside of the zone in which you feel competent, and that as a result, you're learning something new or you're involved in a growth process. Now, the other thing that this investor friend of mine talked about that I really loved is that there's a power to consistency and to mindset. And so we always need to remember that real estate is not instantaneous. It's a long game. And I think this is where a lot of the stuff that exists on TikTok or Instagram or some of those more like fast and furious, fast and bling media makes it seem as if success is overnight and that you're actually not succeeding until you're driving that Lambo or flying in a private jet. And I think that this is absolutely wrong, and it's really not reflective of the way in which financial independence actually happens, which is bit by bit, dollar by dollar, as you slowly begin to realize that your income that you get from your job is just not that important anymore. So it's not like financial independence is a light switch, like winning the lottery, that you switch on or off. It's something that you build over time. And with every dollar of cash flow, every dollar of passive income that you're getting, it means that you're one step closer to that goal of financial independence. And even if it's just an extra $100 a month, having that passive income coming in is not something that you should sniff at. And it's something that you build up really over time. And that ultimately, and this is something that I absolutely love, you know, talking about the incremental improvements and how every single day that tiny forward motion, and it only has to be an inch or two, but if you're moving forward consistently every single day, those tiny incremental improvements that you do not see the fruits of instantaneously, they really stack up over time. And my favorite comparison here is with, for example, if you're able to cut just 100 calories from your diet, the result of that on the scale after you compound it for 2 years or 3 years is going to be immense in a good way. Whereas if you do that the other way and you kind of like slack off and think, okay, well, you know, I'm just have those extra two cookies after dinner, or I'll just make this 100 calorie overshoot decision, well, that also stacks up over time. And with years, the pounds will slowly be adding on in a way that's unhealthy, because you're not paying attention to some of those incremental improvements. And I think that the very same thing is true in the real estate field as you are building that passive income $1 at a time. And then the other thing that I really love that came out of this conversation is the role of community and relationships. And so you will see in the interview, my guest made a lot of the fact that you have to keep moving forward in that incremental way. But there's a key aspect of asking yourself, how do you know that you're advancing in the right direction? And don't get me wrong, I'm all for enduring discomfort, but enduring discomfort without knowing that there's a payoff at the end of it really is a bit more like being a martyr, right? Like if you want to know for certain that you're enduring discomfort in the service of something greater, well, one of the best ways to do that is to build that community around you, or to perhaps workshop the direction or the trajectory that you're taking with a mentor, because that's how you're really going to build that certainty around whether the things that you're doing every single day are supporting your goals or not. Because if you've not done something yet, like if you've not scaled to the next level of your real estate investing journey that you want to attain, if you're not talking to people who are already there, you might not even know whether the discomfort you're going through today makes any sense with respect to what your goals are. So without further ado, I want to introduce one of my favorite investors, Steph, who is now also coaching with the Equity Builders Club. She's helping me give some mentorship to some of the beginner investors who are there. And without further ado, let's hear what Steph has to say about that journey into the beginning of real estate investing.
Hey, Steph. So I'm really excited to chat with you today. Maybe you can just like tell me what made you want to start investing in the first place.
Okay, well, thank you so much for having me to the show. I think what really prompted this was kind of being unsatisfied in my 9-to-5 job and not finding the happiness that I had pre-COVID. And I think everything changed after COVID and didn't have the same social surroundings, I guess, that I really needed in my life. So I ended up focusing a lot more on chasing money, and it just was a little bit unsatisfying. So my husband, he came home one day and was like, oh, I read this really great book. It was Rich Dad, Poor Dad. We can do some really amazing things. And maybe our 9-to-5 job is not the solution. And I was like, tell me more. So I think that's kind of, that was the catalyst for finding an alternative way of making income. And real estate was something that we had already dabbled in a little bit. Like I had a condo I'd rented out for a couple of years. I grew up with my grandfather owning a fourplex and having rental income from that. So he was like, let's just be more than the mom and pop investor. Let's build a real estate empire and get into investing in a way that will open up so many more doors for ourselves in the future. And tying it back to what I said initially about finding happiness, I think I realized that the 9-to-5 isn't giving me the satisfaction that I want, but I did some soul searching. And what I really want is to be able to find a job that I can go to work every day and not worry about how much money I'm bringing in and just making sure that it's fulfilling. And I also thought real estate would be a really great way to give me back some of my time. It just opened up a lot more doors than the traditional work life that everyone else seems to go through.
Mm-hmm. But like, it sounds like there's a lot of stuff in there. And it sounds like, you know, being, first of all, like socially a bit dissatisfied at work. I mean, that's not the most common reason that I hear people mention when they talk about why they get into real estate investing. But like, can you like explain to me how that ties into like the whole financial independence thing? Because like, what's the meaning behind it? Is it more to have a financial security, or is it more because you feel like you're going to be able to get to do something interesting?
I think it's a mix of both. So being unsatisfied at work socially, I think just is like a little bit isolating. And I saw real estate as a way kind of having unlimited opportunities and not being stuck in that box. Yes, it will give me more time, but it'll give me the freedom to choose what I want to do that doesn't depend on like having to make a big income and a big salary to support my lifestyle.
Mm-hmm. So that is really like kind of a financial independence thing. And like, I'm going to take us back to the first time that we ever met, Steph, when you and Mike showed up at one of the Equity Builders Club networking events. And like, I remember the moment of when we introduced ourselves. I don't know if you came up to me or I went up to you. And there was this moment where like, you, Steph, looked at your shoes and was like, no, we're not investors. We just own a condo. So tell me about that moment where, you know, after you guys read Rich Dad, Poor Dad, now what are you doing? Like trolling the web to try to find networking events to meet other people? Like how did that happen?
Yeah. So we read Rich Dad, Poor Dad. We were on this high. We were watching YouTube videos, listening to your podcasts. And I had gone online and I wanted to find a way to meet people in person. And at the time there were no networking events. So I think I subscribed to your mailing list. And the first time, I think it was in January, it was the first networking event that you started back up after a long break. I was like, okay, I'm joining. This is really intimidating, but I'm buying my tickets right now. I think from the start, I knew that if I wanted to be successful, I would have to be consistent and push through some of those fears and those mental challenges that were pushing back. I think it's always nicer to stay home and be cozy in bed and watch TV, but that's not how I'm going to achieve my goals. So I did something that was intimidating and showed up at the first networking event. And ever since then, I mean, at the beginning, it was still challenging, even the first few networking events. But I distinctly remember telling Michael, we have to show up. We have to show our face. People need to recognize us. That's how we're going to develop our credibility. That's how we're going to develop those relationships and those connections. That's kind of what the beginning looked like.
And so what exactly was intimidating about it? Because I know, like, you know, I remember very clearly when I started going to networking events, like at first it was to build my business because, you know, since I couldn't figure out how to scale my real estate investing. I was building my management business, my property management business. And then for that, I ended up going to like all this business networking stuff. And being a raging introvert, I found it like super intimidating just to even have to go and talk to people when there's like not a scripted way in which you're supposed to interact. Like I kind of felt like showing up at a party and like not really knowing how do I approach people elegantly? How do I introduce myself? How is this not awkward? So for me, there was always like a social aspect to the awkwardness. But then what's particular, I think, about networking in the real estate field is the fact that the other people in the room can be intimidating because they're more experienced. And, you know, I know some of the other real estate networking groups that where I've attended, a lot of the times it's about making the people on the stage look big, and people are almost trying to, I don't want to say show off is the wrong word, but it's the pattern is that the beginners tend to feel like a little bit small and don't want to ask too many questions because they don't want to seem ignorant. So, I mean, tell me about, you know, those feelings or maybe the preconceptions that you had or some of the, what was the struggle like for you, like with beginning to attend events?
Yeah, well, I think you had mentioned a few things for why you found it intimidating. And one of the things you mentioned is exactly what I felt was I was surrounded by a bunch of successful people and I felt like I was not at their level. What value was I bringing to them as a beginner investor? I kind of felt like a leech in a way. Like if we're having a two-week conversation, I'm just asking one question after another, gathering all this knowledge, and it felt selfish in a way. And I wasn't able to reciprocate that that value in the conversation. So that was part of it. And I think also having listened to your podcast, there's always very successful guests and going to networking events, everyone looks so professional. And I was like, I don't know if I fit in here. It really didn't. And not to bring gender into it, but it's a male dominated industry. And this wasn't your question, but that's really what attracted me to you and what you're building, because you're such a strong force in this industry and you're not a man, you know, like that's anyways. Yeah. I think being surrounded by males, it just gives off a different energy. And that for me was extremely intimidating as well.
Mm-hmm. I think Steph, there's like two things that I think I really, you know, liked about what you said with that, like unevenness of knowledge, especially if you're showing up and you feel like at the start, you don't have a whole ton to contribute. Like, I think that that's, a concern that a lot of people have. And I'm going to just ask you a follow-up question. I think I know what you're going to say, but I will say that, you know, when I have beginners turn up at events, it's almost like as rewarding to be able to give advice as it is to be able to get advice or to get feedback. And I think that people who are at the beginning of their journey maybe don't necessarily realize that, like humans, we have this natural desire to like want to help out people who know a bit less than us if they're pleasant at that part of their journey. Like in the same way that, you know, like I'll talk about the puppies because, like, you know, I have puppies at home now and I'm totally obsessed with them. But like, you know, I want to just like reach down and pet them all the time. And I think that like being surrounded by like beginners, whether, you know, for me it was at the gym or whether it's in real estate, like I just want them to have a good experience. And so whatever little shove I can give them in the right direction at the beginning, like it just is very like just personally rewarding for me to be able to do it. But so let me turn the question back to you. You know, I don't know what is it like 4 or 5 years later, what does it look like for you now when you're in the room and you're one of those successful people and there's like the intimidated beginners who come in? Like, how do you feel towards them now?
Yeah, my experience going to networking events now is so much different. I genuinely enjoy them. I mark it in my calendar months in advance and I'm like, that day I'm not missing it. It's so much fun. I get to focus on meeting new people from that outlook of just who is this person, getting to know them as opposed to having that fear and feeling uneven. And in terms of like with regards to the newcomers, I definitely get that joy in helping them as well and sharing that knowledge. And I think there's like a sense of pride to be like, I know what that feels like. I was in your shoes, and I just want to be as open and friendly and make them feel as comfortable as possible. Because like you had said earlier on in one of the networking events that I'd gone to a while ago, like there's always the people that are a bit behind you and the people that are a bit in front of you. And it feels good to not be at the back of the pack anymore, but I also get a lot of joy in turning around and helping those out. Actually, at the last networking event that we went to, there was a girl and she was asking so many great questions and I loved it. And just being able to share my experience, like I feel heard. Someone actually wants to know what I did to get to this point. And all her questions were just so great and insight, like very thoughtful questions. And it was cool to be sitting in my seat and thinking back to those last like 4 years back when I was in her seat. And yeah, being able to give back in that way was fun.
Yeah, that's cool. It's nice to hear. Mm-hmm. And you know, I will say to your other comment about you know, female representation in this field, it's true that, and especially, you know, the higher you get up on the pyramid, like if at the mom and pop level you feel like there's not a lot of women, like the bigger the portfolio gets, the less and less women there are at every step, right? And so like definitely, you know, at the level where I am, I don't get to have conversations, especially like not in Canada. When I end up in the US, there it's just a bigger pool. And so there I do meet other female investors with comparable portfolio sizes, but like it's very rare locally that I run into other people. And you know, what I will say to this is that also having coached like women's sports for years, what I actually learned in that field is that women, when they come into a new environment, they have different needs than men do. And in the sports environment, that looks like immediately like men are comfortable competing against each other right away. And so if you're going to start like a basketball practice or like you're going to start in a martial arts class, like you can throw the guys in there and be like, okay, just like play 5-on-5 now. And it'll be just fine. Whereas like if you do that with women, you will lose them because they feel uncomfortable immediately being placed in a competitive situation with one another. And it's as if like this is, you know, comes from sports research, but they say that like the extent to which you can make the female participants like feel comfortable before you start talking about in the real estate field portfolio sizes or like competitive type of things, you will have more of them around. And in sports, there's this huge thing of like trying to like retain female participants, because I think it's something like 6 out of 10 female participants in sports drop off when they hit adolescence because of this, because it's as if the sports world isn't really attuned to how women remain in sport. And I think for sure, if us in the real estate field, we like asked ourselves those questions of like, what more feminine people who come into the sphere, what would allow them to be encouraged to be there more? One of it is like, you know, having more female role models, but a lot of it is also like, what kind of environment are you creating? And whose comfort level are you setting it up for?
For sure. Yeah. I think it's important to feel like you belong in the space, and without that representation, it's really easy to just tell yourself, yeah, like, no, that real estate investing is not for me. Like, this is a male-dominated industry. And I don't think that's true, but that's just the way it feels right off the bat.
Yeah.
You're in a room surrounded by men.
Yeah, absolutely. And who like maybe just naturally like take up more space because maybe they are a bit less concerned about having those competitive conversations right away. So no, I think that's interesting. Mm-hmm. But I want to now like turn to, so we talked a lot about that, like your experience of starting out, but mm-hmm. let's talk about scaling, because like what you and Mike have done is like, it's really incredible. So you've gone from that one condo just like 4 years ago to now owning, what is it, 12 doors that you guys have?
Yep. Old doors.
Awesome. So tell me a little bit about that path. Like what sort of things had to happen for you to make the first move? What have been the challenges of going from like the first building to the second? Like, I want to hear about that like growth trajectory.
I don't want to say like there's always a struggle. I think I need to reframe that and say that there's always new experiences that we're facing. It's been a roller coaster of emotions, as we had spoken about early on when we first bought our first building. And I would say that's still true. There's been some easier times, but there's also been some harder times. Like just going through each, like the cycle of real estate, like you buy your property, tenants leave, you have to find new tenants. Like that's a whole experience in and of itself. You have to learn, don't settle, continue pushing through, find the right tenant. Then you're hit with things like bed bugs in your units. Like, what do you do? The automatic reaction as a beginner investor is like, you freak out. Like, that's not something you even want to talk about. There's so much shame associated to that, but you have to push through it. You need to talk about it. Like, how have other people handled this situation? We've recently had to learn the value of time and money. Like, we were just so overwhelmed with the amount of stuff that we had to do, specifically after we had bought our second building. So with our full-time jobs, we have our own house that has projects. There's now two buildings that we had to manage. We were just really running out of time, and we had to really ask ourselves, is now the time for a property manager, someone that can step in and help us out? And that was a tough choice, not just because of the cost, but it kind of feels like you're failing a little bit. I've spoken to so many real estate investors that have a 100-door portfolio and they're doing their full-time job and they're managing everything. And we just had to be honest with ourselves and just realize we don't enjoy property management, and accepting that that's okay. Our real estate investing trajectory is not the same as other people's. So that's a little bit what that journey has looked like. Definitely some ups and downs. There's been some more calm times where tenants don't really reach out and you actually forget that you even own property. It's kind of a crazy feeling. But then there's other times where you have to make those tougher choices that are going to allow us to move forward in our journey. And yeah, that forces you to grow a little bit.
Yeah. Well, I think it was, you know, very interesting, like that moment at the last event where we split the group into three, and we had on one side of the room, all of the absolute beginners. We had in the middle, people who were like on the way to being what we call professional landlords, right? Because like in our market, mom and pop stops around five, and let's say professional investor or like top 10% of investors is 23 doors. So you guys are just right in the middle of that. And I remember that the what came out of the discussion at your table as far as challenges people are facing, the absolute main challenge was time. And it tends to be that because people who are in that middle phase, they're kind of in this awkward moment where they usually still have day jobs. And so there's all the time and responsibility and mind space pressure that goes along with that, while at the same time trying to build a portfolio and maybe manage properties as well. And that like, we also had, you know, the advanced table, and at the advanced table, it's like, it's a different set of problems because by the time you own 25 doors, everybody's not working anymore, you know? So it's just kind of interesting to hear that that's, I think, a very common place at which you can find a challenge. So, you know, could I get you maybe to say in your own words, like, what is the biggest challenge that you're facing right now with the next step that you guys are going to take?
I don't know if it's necessarily the next step because we're not buying anything right now. I think we're focusing on optimizing our buildings. And that challenge specifically in our situation is just, I don't know, like zoning laws and one of our buildings, it feels like there's something going on in every single unit and it's overwhelming. And even though we have the property manager, there's still a lot of stress associated to it. So the challenge right now is not wanting to quit. And we've had that conversation just a couple weeks ago. And we're like, this is a lot. Like, I don't know what to do. This is overwhelming. I just don't want to do this anymore. I just want to sell off my portfolio and just invest in the stock market. And like, I don't have an entrepreneurial or business background, but Michael told me that in business, those who quit don't succeed. And I was like, okay, I'm sold. Like, that's all he had to say. And so I don't know if this answers your question, but I just feel like that's where we're at now, where we've just been hit by so many things one after another in such a short period of time that we've wanted to just stop altogether. And like, no, like, I don't know. I just like wrote down a few quotes, but quitting is really the only way to fail in real estate. And so that's where we're at right now. And just pushing through and putting one step in front of the other. That I don't know if that answers your question, but
it really doesn't. I think stuff is so funny because like I, right now I'm smiling, but I'm not smiling every day. And like people who've worked with me for a while know that I have about 2 moments a year where I'm like, I'm selling everything and I'm like moving to the south of France. Like I have that moment, like every 6 months, and like, I could probably tie it to like moments in the real estate cycle because, you know, us in Quebec with our July leases and like renewal season is always a bad one when you have like the refusal of the, you know, you submitted your rent increase letters and then you see how many contestations you're going to get, or like, you know, something happens and it's just like, it's like a bad week in the real estate world. And then I'm like, I'm going to sell everything. But then, you know, what happens is that the wheel turns and the joy of it, of doing it, comes back, the feeling of satisfaction. But like, I wanted to talk about the financial rewards for a minute, because I know that like off camera, you know, this is a conversation that like the three of us, like you, me and Mike, have when we hang out. And it's about like, first of all, you know, you guys are super young. So you're in your late 20s. And Mike, I think towards his mid 20s. And so like, in looking at like what other people your age are doing with their time, like, you know, you guys are not up to the same stuff. And so tell me a little bit about like maybe the rewards or like the feeling of security, financial security. Like, what are you on a good day? What are you getting out of this from like a financial perspective?
So I don't think we fully reached our, well, obviously not, we haven't reached our financial independence goal, but from a financial perspective, I still feel like I've reached that point of not having to stress. Like if my company is going through a restructuring, I'm not stressing. I know that we're still going to be okay with our two buildings. I don't know if we can live off of it fully, but you know, buildings and one income is good. So right now that's one financial reward that I'm feeling. Yeah, that's one of them. And the other one is we haven't refinanced our first property yet, but it's really incredible that we're able to see just a few short years after the purchase that the potential that it has to refinance and pull out some money to be able to buy another property. We haven't actually acted on that yet, but I know it's there, and it's cool to have that vision and to start seeing that ball rolling. You learn in theory what real estate can do, and we're at the point where it's becoming real. And that's really, it's really cool. Yeah.
It's actually crazy because like, you know, I get to have these conversations like often with people, and it's like when they start out, they have this sense that this is going to be their path towards financial freedom. But it's a different thing. Like when I get to talk to that investor before their first purchase, and then 2 or 3 years later, when they come back and see me and they're like, no, wait, actually, like I could never have made that amount of money in my day job, or, oh wait, that's the amount of money that I made in my day job, but I did it by, you know, really not doing all that much. Because when you talk about the stress and the time commitment that it takes, I mean, you're working 40 hours a week. So like whatever stressing and time you're spending is time on top of that. And it's not a full-time, it's not a full-time job, but it is full-time income.
Yeah. We see the security that it brings. And we see the potential of how it is possible to one day quit our jobs and do this full time. We're not fully there yet, but we're closer than we were when we first started. And we're definitely recognizing that and appreciating that.
Cool. Yeah, no, I mean, and I think that this is like one of these, you know, misconceptions about the way that financial independence happens, right? And it's like, I saw a really good diagram once that shows like the climb towards it, because it's not an on-off switch. It's something that slowly, slowly you feel less stressed about your day job because you are aware that either you have a huge amount of equity or you have some cash flow coming in. And then slowly over a period of years, you realize like, oh, wait a second, like if I were to stop working, like we actually wouldn't feel it that much. And so it's like almost like the frog being cooked in the water that like you don't necessarily notice every single day what the impact is, but by putting drops and drops and drops into the bucket, like eventually you do begin to see the full impact of that. So Steph, you know, we've been chatting for quite a while. I can see that like we're coming up to the end of time that we have for this interview. And I wonder if like as a last sort of summarizing comment, like do you have any advice or like inspirational words for people who are at the beginning of their journey? Maybe they're thinking about making their first acquisition and it just seems so overwhelming. Like how have you been able to move through that like feeling of overwhelming to be able to do everything that you guys have done in such a short time, really?
I kind of touched on it before, but I think it's really important to put one foot in front of the other. Like one baby step at a time will add up to getting to where you want to be. And I think it's important that you do what makes you feel uncomfortable, because if you're not, then you're not really going anywhere. So yeah, it might be uncomfortable, but put one step in front of the other. And kind of tying into that is consistency and mindset is sometimes more important or equally as valuable as knowledge. So consistently move forward one tiny step. It's one of the advice that, I guess it's not advice, but something that a lot of people say is that real estate is not instantaneous. It's a long-term game. And just don't forget that. Know that going into it. And yeah, those, you'll get to where you want to be. Just be consistent and put one foot in front of the other. And I think you'll start to see what you're building is worth it and is growing into something bigger than you could have ever imagined.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I will also add, Steph, you know, like you didn't mention necessarily like your network and your peer group, but I think that's something where, you know, you guys have been really good with being consistent at showing up with the at the networking events, but then also like really cultivating that network and those relationships with people that you've met. You know, obviously like we know each other personally, but like in looking at where I feel like you guys have been really like smart and intentional with how you spend your time and your effort, and like that you guys have really invested a lot in relationships. And I think that, you know, you talk about persevering and moving forward, but like I know sometimes it's difficult to know, like put one foot in front of the other. Yeah, but in which direction? Mm-hmm. And the other missing bit of that I feel like I needed to add is that the way that you know you're going in the right direction and that you're not like walking with your head down through the snowstorm is because you're surrounded by other people who are ahead of you and who are able to say, look, this is the right way. Just put your head down and keep walking. And I think that like you put those two, you know, ingredients together of like perseverance and comfort with discomfort, but then also making sure that you're surrounded by enough people so that you know that you are making the right decisions and that all you have to do is endure the discomfort and not doubt the big picture, you know?
Mm-hmm. Oh, 100%. There's so many facets to real estate investing. I forget all the different points that have really helped us get to where we are. How could I forget the people that have helped me get to where I am? Yeah, that's so true. It's, you need to surround yourself by those people that kind of give you that push in the right direction, or you need that person in front of you that you idolize and you can like kind of chase after them and follow in their footsteps. I think you need some professionals in your corner that can guide you, whether it be when you're buying real estate or a coach or mentor or all these. You need people in your corner that mm-hmm. will guide you in the right direction. Yeah, you're right. You can't just blindly take one step in front of the other.
Exactly.
You need direction and those people give you direction. It's true.
Yeah. Super. Okay. Well, look, Steph, thank you for taking the time to share your experience with our listeners. I think it's always really cool to hear from people who are, you know, closer to the beginning of their journey maybe than I am. I know like I like that. And I think it's fun for our mm-hmm. listeners to be able to maybe hear from people who are a little bit more relatable. So thank you for, you know, sharing on that. And listeners, you know, we're going to have Steph on again in a couple of weeks. So you don't want to miss the next episode where she tells us a little bit more about her journey into the beginning of actually being on the coaching and mentorship side of things.
Thank you so much, Terry.
So I want to thank you so much for tuning into this guest interview episode of the Real Escape Investors podcast. Thank you so much for listening to the show. If you felt like this testimonial, like this experience was in any way useful to you, or you think that a friend of yours might want to listen to it, please go ahead and share it. You can, as always, grab your husband's phone, your kid's phone, your friend's phone, and sign them up for the show. That helps us get the word out to more people. Just like leaving a 5-star review or a comment, I do love to see those reviews come in and to hear from some of our fans. And the other thing that I want to leave you with is just this really cool but powerful idea that you don't have to walk this real estate investing path alone. And that's part of the reason why I like to once in a while bring guests on the show, especially when they're inspiring and when they can set the bar for you and make you see what it might look like, perhaps from a vantage point of somebody who's starting out today. Because it's true that I've been investing for a while, and that sometimes some of those reflexes, because they've been built over so many years, it might not be super relevant for me to talk about my beginning is in investing 20 years ago. So that's one of the things that I really like about having more inspirational and also younger guests on the show, so that you can hear a bit about their experience in a way that's perhaps more relatable and more relevant to your particular moment in time. So, real estate fan, thank you for listening to the show, and I hope you'll join me again next week for another episode of Real Escape Investing.